La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 33 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. And if you like what you hear, subscribe, rate the show, and write a brief review. We've got a special episode for you today. It's Valentine's Day edition. Jenny, what's coming up in the Triton Spotlights?
Well, Jeff, love is in the air. Coming up in today's Triton Spotlights, we'll chat with two couples who are former Triton Scholar athletes. We'll start with Scott Suda, a former track and field athlete, and his wife, Rena Nakano, a former tennis player who you might remember from episode 10. Later, we'll chat with former track and field athletes Sagrario DeFord and Matt DeFord, who you might know as Yogi. Both couples will share their love stories and how UC San Diego athletics played a role. Those conversations come your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlights.
But first, we go around campus. More teams are returning to action. That's great news. The golf team started off its season Monday and Tuesday, and the women's water polo preseason poll was announced on Monday as well. Their season's right around the corner. You can catch up with both teams at UCSDTritons.com. And while you're there, make sure to check out the feature story on the Cult family. Gloria Cult of the Triton track and field team is following in the footsteps of her mother, Renee Sproul Cult, who also competed for the Tritons. It's such a fantastic tale. You can read all about it on the website.
You definitely won't want to miss that one. Now it's on to our first of this week's Triton Spotlights. Here's our conversation with Triton track and field alum, Scott Suda, and former tennis player, Rena Nakano.
So Rena, tell us how you and Scott first met.
So both of us are Triton athletes, but I was on the tennis team and Scott was on the track team, and the tennis team practices in the north side of the school, and the track team, they did weights towards the tennis court, right? And so I would see him sometimes, but it's not like we were, you know, always hanging out or anything like that.
So then who ultimately made the first move? How did you two start dating?
That was many years after we graduated, actually. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So why don't you tell him again what you thought about me, and I can tell you what I thought about you.
So yeah, it was 2 years after we had graduated from undergrad, but I was actually still on campus for the teaching program at UCSD. But yeah, she was in Wyoming and I was in San Diego at the time. And I was on Facebook actually, looking at her profile, seeing if she remembered me. And I decided to send her a message on Facebook Messenger to see where she was. And, oh, actually, I'm sorry. She wasn't in Wyoming. Sorry, she was in Japan. So she was in Japan and I was in San Diego. And then I sent her a message on Facebook Messenger and she didn't reply actually the first time I messaged her. And I guess I tried like a month later and I messaged her asking, oh, hey, how's it going? And then she actually responded finally the second time around. And then we kept in touch over Facebook while she was in Japan and I was in San Diego. And then she came to visit one time in like September, October, and we hung out once. And then the rest was kind of history.
So the reason I didn't answer the first time was I was thinking that maybe he accidentally sent me a message. I was like, this guy can't remember me that much. Cause I mean, no offense, but I didn't super, super remember you either. I knew that you were just the guy on the track team who I would wave to just sometimes and that's it. So I was like, oh, I guess he remembers me. So the second time around when he messaged me. I was like, okay, fine. I'll talk to him. And yeah, I guess it kind of went from there. Thank you, Facebook.
No question about that. So Rena, while you were in Japan, after that initial exchange, well, not the one you blew him off, but when you actually did respond, I mean, did you two start connecting fairly regularly?
Yeah.
Or did it take some time?
Yeah. The interesting thing was there's a huge time difference within Tokyo and San Diego. So it kind of became a thing where when I wake up, he had messaged me, or I would message back and then he would wake up and see something like that. So it kind of became like a ritual. And then we would try to just talk to each other over, what was the app? Vox or something?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a walkie-talkie app.
Absolutely. I had that one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we just kind of kept in touch. And then he suddenly said, I want to come visit you. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, after the first time we hung out, our first in-person date, when she came to visit the States, and she came down to San Diego, we went to Tacos El Gordo, and then she decided she wanted to make gyoza at my place. So we did. And then she had asked me, oh, when are you going to visit your favorite reporter? Because she was a reporter at the time in Japan. And in my mind, I was like, never, because I'm not going to Japan anytime soon. But then, yeah, one thing led to another. And then December 26th, the day after Christmas, I had booked my flight for then. And I flew out to Japan on a whim.
His whole family thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was a stalker then, but I was like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't kill me.
Well, I was going to ask you, in all seriousness, I mean, it sounds, and I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but it sounds pretty quick to be flying across the world to visit, no?
Yes.
A little, but we had talked almost like every day for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So for almost like 2 months or something. And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to go for it. I mean, I threw out the idea before I just booked my ticket and she said, okay. So I went.
So I just had faith that he wasn't a total like psychopath, you know, serial killer. And he turns out he wasn't. So thank goodness.
Thank goodness indeed. So presumably that visit went well. And Rena, did that ultimately play a role in your decision to move back to the United States? I mean, Scott play a part in that?
Yeah, he played a pretty big part in that. I was in Japan for almost 2 years, working as a network reporter for NHK. I was doing some pretty cool stories for a news program out there in English. But I knew that, you know, at one point I needed to be back closer to my immediate family, which was in Orange County. And, you know, Scott was in Southern California, his family was in Los Angeles and he was in San Diego. So I knew that, you know, we wanted to be together at some point. And so when, you know, the timing was right, I decided to move back to the United States with no job, which my parents thought I was a psycho for doing, but I guess I followed a boy to San Diego.
It's a good choice.
And we're all glad it turned out to be the right one.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to play some quick picks here. So I'll pick one of you at random and ask a question, and who's better at this or that. All right, Scott, we'll start with you. Of the two of you, who's the better cook?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably Rena. She makes quite a few Japanese dishes and those are always enjoyable. And she's really good with taking old leftovers and making something new out of it that's good to eat. So
it took you a minute there, Scott. So what do you bring to the table?
He's actually really good. Like, he does like really nice chicken tacos. He does more of like
fish tacos. I make really good fish tacos because I really like to go fishing down here in Southern California. So when I do, I catch some fish, like bring
super fresh,
yeah. Make some fish tacos out of it. And that's kind of probably one of my specialties, I would have to say.
I'm sorry, this was supposed to be rapid fire, but this is getting in-depth.
This is fascinating stuff. Rena, who's the tidiest or messiest, if you want to answer it that way?
Me, tidy, Scott, messy, 100%.
Yeah, that one's led to some arguments. So,
Scott, who's the better driver?
Oh, me.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's a little scary sometimes in the car.
Haven't died yet.
No, we haven't. But sometimes I hold on to the side door.
But ever since we have our baby, I drive a lot slower, right?
Yeah.
I've improved.
What, for either of you, what celebrity couple do you most look like?
Celebrity couple.
Who do people say you look like?
That soccer player on the Japanese.
Oh, yeah. So he looks like the Japanese national soccer team goalie.
Okay.
I don't know. What's his name? I don't know who he's dating, but I don't know who I look like. Do I look like him?
I don't know either. That's a tough one. There's not too many Asian celebrities yet that's to be compared to.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess. Sorry, next question.
All right, next question. Scott, what is Rena's best personality trait?
Her best personality trait? I think she's very like personable and social with like anyone much more than I am. So a lot of people say like, well, I hope your daughter got her personality and not yours. So yeah, she's quite personable and social.
And Rena, how would you answer that? What's Scott's best personality trait?
He's very caring. He tries very hard to make everyone feel like comfortable and good about themselves and whatever situation.
And lastly, for both of you, so either of you can answer first, but in the few short months it's been, what's the best part about parenthood?
Oh.
Well, I could tell you a lot more things that aren't good about it, but I would say just watching her grow like and develop over the last couple months, you know, like she's starting to smile back and like she recognizes her name and the things, just the random little things that she does that makes you like laugh that, you know, normally you wouldn't have to share because she wouldn't be there. So those things have been fun to watch.
Yeah, I would say the same. Mostly just watching her realize who she is and find her personality as well as finding her hands and feet. It's really interesting to see just her development both physically and cognitively. And sometimes I'm like, wow, that's really like me. And wow, that's really like daddy. And I think that's the cool thing about kids is you discover yourself in them.
Yeah, for sure.
But it never would have happened had I not noticed the guy who almost did some serial killer type things.
Well, in this case, thank you, social media.
Thank you, social media.
Yep, for
thank
once.
Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Scott and Rena, thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wow, what a great love story. Thank goodness that Rena eventually responded to Scott's Facebook message.
No question about that. Now it's on to our next Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with Triton track and field alums, Matt and Sagrario DeFord.
So to start, tell us how the two of you met.
So I will start. So we met on the UCSD track and field team. So we were both throwers. I was a shot putter and a hammer thrower. And Matt was a hammer thrower. You threw discus for a hot second, didn't you?
I was hammer and discus.
Discus, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we met when I was a freshman and you were a senior.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the hammer field.
On the hammer field.
Yeah, on the hammer field.
Matt, do you remember what you first thought when you saw Sagrario?
I first thought, oh, this is one of the new freshmen on the team.
And that was it.
That was about it.
That tells you the beginning of our love story.
So then at what point then did it start budding into a friendship or something more?
Oh my gosh, it took a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we met in, you know, 2000. And mm-hmm. then we graduated. Oh, you graduated.
I graduated in June 2001.
And I was still in school, obviously. And you were still working in San Diego. And so he was still friends with a bunch of people on the track team. And so he kind of disappeared, sort of, because I would see you on occasion at like random parties and stuff. But it was, we never like.
Yeah, I was that guy that came back to college parties for like a year or two after I graduated.
Well, because you were, I mean, it's not considered weird. I think it's considered weird if we showed up now, right? But.
Oh, yeah, it gets creepy when you're like 30.
Yeah, yeah. But not like the first or third or whatever, fourth years after you graduate. But yeah, we ended up seeing each other again. Tony Salerno, still the track coach and throwers coach at UCSD. He had received an award for
Division II coach of the year for like mm-hmm. track and field.
Mm-hmm. And so we went to a dinner thing at like CPK, right?
CPK.
Like there in La Jolla.
I don't even know if it's still there, but yeah.
Yeah. So we went like there.
The Village Square.
Yeah. And then you were there. And so we just started talking and you wanted to like exercise. So we decided to start meeting up to throw on the hammer field and then go over to the gym and lift weights and stuff.
Yeah. At the time you were working at Scripps SIO.
Right.
And you'd drive up.
And pick that, you
like,
up.
Windy road.
Because you didn't want to pay for parking.
I didn't want to pay for parking because nobody wants to pay for parking at UCSD. I'm sure that hasn't changed.
I know.
Yep.
And I would be sitting on the curb and you'd basically
and I would
pick me up.
Pick you up. Yeah.
And then we'd go to Remap.
Yeah.
And we'd do some lifting. We'd throw on the field. And we just spent some time together. I mean, the friendship, I think, was always there. Like, as teammates, you're naturally, like, you know, you share that bond and that, you know, commitment to the team.
But when we started hanging out to do that, like, I didn't think of it as like, oh, we're going to go work out and it's going to be like a date and this is going to be a thing. Like, right. That never really crossed my mind. Also, because, like, if you met Matt when we were in college, like, he was also like, I mean, we've talked about this.
I was that guy.
He was just like the guy who was friends with everybody and guys, girls, whatever. And so I never thought that it was more than that. And I don't even, did you? I don't think so. Did you?
I mean, there was kind of a spark there.
Oh, okay. So he did.
But I was also the guy that wouldn't make a move.
Yeah. And you'll get to that story in a minute. So yeah, we would like go get dinner and stuff afterwards. And I remember I was living with they were also throwers, two of my girlfriends who are still friends with us. We're actually hanging out with them over Zoom tomorrow night because it's supposed to be alumni weekend for track and field this weekend. But obviously because of COVID, we're not doing anything. So we're going to hang out over Zoom, but after 9 when the kids are in bed. But my girlfriends / roommates / throwers on the team were like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, nothing, right? And I think they saw it probably before we were willing to say anything. And they would poke fun at me when you would come over and have dinner and stuff. And we'd be watching like random things on TV. And yeah. And I of course didn't admit anything because I was like, nah, he's not interested. So why would I admit anything?
Yeah. I think one of my earliest memories of a spark being there was I was at your place in Tierra Santa. And
that place.
We were watching Austin Powers and I asked you, how do you say my teeth are nasty in Spanish?
Yeah. I don't know why that's
it stuck with me all these years.
I don't know why that's the moment for you. It's like, that's when I realized I liked her. When she told me how to say that in Spanish. She's such a dweeb.
So if that was a spark for Matt, then Cigario, what was the kind of the first spark for you?
You know, that's a really good question. I've never really like thought about
it. I don't
think
I've asked her that question.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is good. I don't know that I ever like felt like there was. I was very like, I don't know. What would you call it? Like I was like protective of my feelings. So it would take a minute. And then finally, when I did open up my feelings, I got mad at you because you wouldn't make a move. So, gosh, well, I guess if I had to pick a moment, I would probably be the night when we were sitting there. Cause we were like sitting next to each other. I don't think we had done that up until that moment.
Like shared couch space.
Yeah. Like exactly. Like we were in each other's space and we had, you know, you're throwing a hammer. It's not like you're like, hey, let me help you lift this weight. And you're like, you know, doing like some sort of sexy exercise stuff, right? It's just throwing.
I mean, you say I have a cute butt, though.
Oh, that's true. I do. So maybe when you were walking away with your hammer at some moment, right. I was like, "That's it. It's the butt." So yeah, I think probably was that night because we were again we were like sharing space, and I'm pretty sure that was the night my roommates poked fun at us. Probably in front of both of us because they're like that where they wouldn't hold back. So, and then I had to try to explain myself later and I basically denied everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing these workouts together. You're meeting up and hanging out. At what point did it kind of start to turn into a relationship?
Well, I got complicated. So you want to tell that part where you went?
Well, before I left the country.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, see, there was this time where each of us was actually dating someone else. And, I mean, this is now a year removed.
From the beginning of working out.
From that dinner to honor Tony.
Yeah.
So, it's a year removed. We're still spending time together. And I think there was like, whose birthday did we go out for that night?
My birthday.
Oh, it was my birthday. Great. Well, no wonder you're so pissed off at me.
No, but I moved. I moved back to LA though because I graduated.
That's true.
So I graduated. I moved. Like nothing happened after exercising and all that stuff. And like I think we both kind of felt something. But like he never made a move. I never made a move. I was probably too proud to do anything or say anything. And so you were just too naive.
And I was just too clueless. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. So we ended up completely separating ways. And so I moved back to the LA area to work at UCLA, and then you stayed in.
Doing my teaching thing.
But you left to. When did you have to Costa Rica?
It was after.
After that argument. Okay. So, the argument. So.
It's not really an argument when it's just you.
Yeah, just me yelling at you.
Something on the corner outside Henry's downtown.
Shut up. I went down to San Diego to celebrate my birthday because my best friends were still in San Diego. So, we went back down. I went down there. And at that point, I wasn't dating that guy anymore. Which I don't think I ever made like an announcement. I was like, hey.
This was a detail I was not up to speed on at the time that we went out.
Which I'm a little offended by because you would think that I'd be all like, dancing with you while I was dating somebody else. That's jacked up. So I went to San Diego to celebrate my birthday with my girlfriends. We went to Henry's, which I hope is still up and bumping because we loved that place. So we would go to Henry's on Fifth Avenue, right? Mm-hmm. In downtown LA. And so my girlfriends and I went there. You met us. Well, did Sorensen come? I don't remember. We had a couple friends. Anyway, or was it just you showing up by yourself? Or you probably would have just rolled
in. I'm not sure. There were some adult sodas involved.
So. Adult drinks. She said it's an adult audience. We can say we were drinking.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Well, so, we went out drinking, obviously, my birthday. I don't know which. Well, 24, 22. I have no idea. Anyways, we were there. We were dancing. Like, you were getting, like, close to my face and stuff, but, like, never kissed me, right? And I was like, I'm not doing it. So that never happened. And so we were walking. Of course, after you go dancing and drinking, you go eat tacos. So we went over to one of the taco shops. We're walking over. And I don't know what you were saying to me, but I think I just, like, lost it and I got super mad at you. And I do remember this part. We were crossing the street and I just like got so pissed and I was like, you're just a fucking pussy. Like, you won't make a move.
Yep.
And then your face was like, right? Crazy woman. So yeah. And
that's where we say goodnight to each other.
That's where like it kind of ended. And then the best/worst part was, I think like 2 days later, you were leaving to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Because he had a teaching thing that he was going to do down in Costa Rica, right? So leaving the country, this man also didn't have a cell phone. Like, I called him in the morning the next day because I realized, oh my gosh, I was probably like this nut job yelling in the middle of the street. So I called his answering machine, left an answering, like a voicemail. And you can't even call that a voicemail, just a message, right?
Just a message on the
answering machine.
That's how old I am.
No, and you also just refused to get a cell phone because you're weird like that. So yeah, I left a voice, an answer, a machine. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk. I left the message on your answering machine and you never called me back.
Silence. Did it seem like that was the end of it?
I was clueless. I was once naive. I've started to get a clue since then. Yeah. More of a clue. Yeah. I don't know if I have the clue entirely.
Right.
So you leave for Costa Rica. Yeah, what happens next?
So I leave for Costa Rica. I'm down there for a minute. I come back at the end of the summer. And I think I reach out to you. I do reach out to you.
Yeah.
I'd been thinking about you when I was in Costa Rica.
But he never sent me an email or called me because there are phones in Costa Rica.
And so I get back and I was like, I want to give her a call. I want to talk to her a little more. And I remember inviting you out to dinner. Yeah. And there was a moment where you asked me, like, just so we're clear, is this like we're just going to dinner or is this like a date?
Yeah, because I was so annoyed at like how everything was so unclear before that I'm like, look, if we're just going to dinner, that's cool because obviously we were friends. But if it's going to be more than that, like, can you just tell me up front so I know what to expect? So I'm not like walking in thinking we're on a date and you're just like, la-di-da, like, no, we're just
here. No, so I was like, yeah, it's a date. It's a date.
No, and then I was like, is that a question? Or is that like, it's a date? And you're like, no, it's a date. I'm like, okay, then it's a date.
Yeah, so we had our first date, September 1st, 2006.
You remember the date.
I remember the date. Because in my mind, I thought that was us.
That was starting us a thing. Being a boyfriend and girlfriend. I was like, oh no, that's not how it works with me. But cool.
Thanks. Which November 25th was the actual date in which we clarified that.
I clarified that.
Yeah, you clarified it because I met you for wine tasting in Temecula.
And then he was like, oh, I told my
mom and her boyfriend that I was going down to meet my girlfriend for wine tasting.
And I was like, oh, I'm your girlfriend?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, right?
I'm such a jerk.
You're like, I'm sorry, you never asked me that. I was like, would you like to be my girlfriend? She's like, well, yeah. I said, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So it's official.
Yeah. So it took like a couple months.
So that's our official date.
Yeah. November.
At one point, you guys, after you finally started dating, were long distance. Talk to us a little bit about how that was.
Yes. So right after that, actually a couple months after that, you ended up getting a job offer in Costa Rica.
Yeah. So the first time I went down was for like a training where I was learning basically how to teach English as a foreign language, but I was still a teacher here in the U.S. And basically the following summer, I was starting to hit a point where I was kind of ready to do something new. After 3 years in teaching, I was already ready for something new. This opportunity kind of presented itself. So I took advantage to go down there and work for the program that I had trained under previously. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you were getting some big news on your end.
Yeah. So I was applying to grad school. So I got a couple different acceptances. But then I got warned that I got accepted to Columbia in New York City. And I didn't even think about it. I was like, I'm going, right? And then same thing for you. It's like the minute you got the offer, I was like, you're going, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't ever one of those like, oh, I'm not going because I'm dating somebody. Like, we never had that.
Yeah, we were like, peace, we're out.
Yeah, we were both like, cool. Like, I'll call you, I'll email you. Like, we're going to do the long distance thing. Yeah. But we need to each do our own thing in whatever country or part of the coast we're going to do it in.
So the first few months started as LA, San Diego, and then turned into Costa Rica, New York City.
Right.
And then that was the first year
of my grad school.
And the second year, I was back in San Diego.
Right. And then it was San Diego, New York.
You were still in New York, yeah.
I came back for the summer for the internship at NBC, remember? But still,
that's true.
It was just a couple weeks.
That was actually our first, like, time living together.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We lived in this, like...
It was, like, this short-term...
cottage.
Arrangement.
You didn't even fit in the shower because he's, like, 6'4", right? So
and your baking sheet didn't fit in the oven.
Yeah. So we had to move. It did not work. I also had my shoes.
And neither of us fit in the space where like we slept.
Right. We had to put a curtain.
Right. I think it was a breakfast nook, but we put a bed.
Yeah,
in
we
there.
Turned it into a bedroom.
But it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice. It was, like I said, a short-term arrangement and then, you know.
Yeah.
But the traveling was awesome.
Well, yeah.
Those 2 years.
It was flights weren't as expensive back then, right? And so whenever I would sometimes leave on like a Friday on a red eye and I would get to Costa Rica in like 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And so I would get there and I would stay until Monday morning, actually. And I would leave on a Monday morning flight. And I would basically go from the airport with my suitcase to work, leave my suitcase at work, cross the street, go to school, go get my suitcase and go home. So it was like, I was trying to take advantage of as much time as being there. But, you know, flights at that point were like $300. So
it's a different time.
Yeah. It was easier to do that. And we'd have to set up like appointment times for dates, like what time, because in Costa Rica, like it rains a lot, power goes out and stuff. So there were a couple times where we would arrange for times for like phone dates and you wouldn't answer or you wouldn't call. And I know I freaked out a couple times and I was like, he's probably just stuck in some like torrential downpour in the jungle where he's living because he wasn't in
Just ghosting her like I had done before.
Yeah, no, I knew he was just...
Before ghosting was even a thing.
That's true.
It wasn't even a term back then.
So we survived. I mean, it wasn't super easy, but we were also both so busy that like, I don't know how I would have had enough time to have a relationship like the normal in-person, like going out type of thing while I was in grad school, because I was working. I was also in grad, like, you know, it was tough, and it was same for you. So,
and you were living the big New York City life.
I would go on dates by myself to watch shows and stuff. I loved it.
So we landed back in San Diego together after you finished grad school.
Yeah. So it was 2 years?
So first 2 years was distance. And then I was still living in that little cottage space by myself. Mm-hmm. And it was actually at that point that we realized, because you had like moved in your stuff.
Yeah.
Including the baking sheet that didn't fit the oven. And you were like, that's it.
Yeah. We got a bigger apartment.
She took the initiative, found an amazing little space over in...
University Heights
off Texas, and we lived there for a few years.
So we got married.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At what point then did you get engaged?
So it was about 5 years after we went on our first date. Uh-huh. It was in August of 2010, because we got married in November of 2011. I remember we were engaged for like a year.
Engagement. Fair down.
So the proposal story, the track, specifically the throwing field, West Field as it's called, right? The West Field, over by the tennis courts, has always held like a very special place in both of our lives. Just for all the years that we were on the team. I mean, it's where we knew, like, that was our origin story. Right. And so we had talked about it. We talked about proposals and stuff like that here and there.
I was past the subtleties at that point.
Yeah, I know. At this point, we were well into like, okay, this is where I stand. This is where you stand. Yeah. Like, don't waste my time. That's what's happening here. So we knew we were in it for the long haul. I think there was some talk around where we wanted to get married. We had actually been talking about the marriage before talking about the proposal. Mm-hmm. And like, who talks about the proposal with anyone? I guess that didn't make sense. Yeah. Anyway. So we talked about, we don't really want to do like, you know, the traditional church wedding. That was not part of like our lives together. Yeah. And we talked about doing outdoor things. Said, wouldn't it be funny if we got married like on the field, right? So that then inspired like me to want to propose to her on the field. Which I remember that morning still, like being kind of a nervous wreck at who isn't, right? At breakfast, we went to Harry's.
Yeah, Harry's
in Harry's in La Jolla. And I had invited her folks. I had invited her sister and her sister's at the time fiance, who totally like screwed up the surprise because we got there and you noticed his car. And
yeah, because
like,
his car has like
weird.
A distinct sticker on it. And I was is that Chris's car?
Yeah, I was like, way to screw it up, Chris.
Yeah. Have we ever told him that? He's going to know once he hears this.
But you did a great job still being surprised. That's the moment you knew, though.
That's the moment I was like, okay, something's up. But then I also remember like right before that being like, why are you being weird? Like, right? Like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. And you were totally nervous. Something was up. And I'm like, I guess in a way I can understand you being nervous, but at the same time, like, you knew I wasn't going to say no. So I guess you just wanted to go a certain way.
It was
way,
the element
right?
of surprise.
Yeah, and you wanted to be a certain way, and you yeah. planned it out, and it was perfect.
But I mean, you didn't know your folks were going to be
there. No, I did not know my folks were going to be there. And they like come after you proposed, like,
came around the corner.
They popped out of the bushes, and I was like, oh, my mom and dad are here. And if you had ever met my parents, my dad is like not an emotional person. But he was like,
picture happy. Sam the Eagle from the Muppets.
Oh my gosh, you and that comparison.
I'm just saying, listeners, Google it if you don't
it's
know who they are.
Because he has the eyebrows. That's
yeah,
why you
is
say
nothing
that.
Sacred. Like. Yeah, I mean, it's just uncanny.
But he was happy and he was there and it was sweet.
He smiled with his eyes.
He did. He smiles with his eyes. He doesn't really smile with his face at all. Oh, only with the kids. He'll smile with the kids. Yeah. But yeah, so they were. It was really sweet. And then we ended up going to celebrate at the Prado.
We did.
We love the Prado, so we went there.
And then, yeah, a little over a year later, we exchanged vows
yes.
in the same spot.
Yes, and we also got married on the Hammer Discus Field, partly because it was, well, one, it's special to us, and two, we saved so much money because no one had ever gotten married on the Hammer Discus Field. So it was like, I don't know, it was like $100.
Thanks,
to
UCSD
field.
Facilities.
Yeah.
It was like $200
for
to
real.
Rent it.
Crazy. So we got married on the field, and then it was sweet. Like Tony, the coach, drove me over in my girlfriend's decorated the golf cart, and we like went down the like little walkway in the golf cart, and Tony drove us down. So again, just like special.
We celebrated in the tower. Like the reception was in the tower of the transfer student housing.
Yeah,
it's like 15 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that they actually don't have that same setup anymore. They like changed it.
Oh wow! Did
but
they
anyways,
change it because of us?
I don't know, but it was a deal. So yeah, we ended up having the reception like literally the big tall buildings right next to the field.
We had like an ocean view reception and yeah. wedding like. On the yeah. cheap. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, because they had just built it. So I think they were like, how much?
It was even nicer because we paid for it ourselves.
Yeah.
But we exchanged our vows actually at the midpoint between our two records, which, by the way, she has a much nicer like distance in terms of like her Hammer record than me. So it was a little farther out in the field, which is good. If it was at my PR, then
we'd be in like the ditch. Just kidding.
No, for real, we wouldn't have been able to seat like everyone that we invited.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was perfect. It was meaningful, and then every time we go for alumni and stuff, like we share it with our kids and my daughter knows and stuff. So it's really sweet. It's nice.
Oh, I love that. I mean, what a meaningful wedding. That's so awesome that you were able to incorporate track and field in that way. So mm-hmm. fast forward to today. I mean, you said that you've got kids. Tell us about your family.
Yes, we have two kiddos. So we have a six-year-old. Her name is Paloma, and that means dove in Spanish. And then my son, who's 2 years old, who's napping right now. So thank you, Valor, for napping. His name is Valor. In English, it's Valor. So yeah, a six-year-old and a two-year-old. And we're living in the LA area in a part of town called Downey. And we are probably, I would say, in an almost forever home, I would say. I don't know, maybe when we get really old, we might switch to a smaller place. But
it's nice. It's a cul-de-sac, so kids get to run around and learn how to ride skateboard and bikes.
Yeah, and nobody wants to run them over. Right on, yeah. Everybody pulls over for the kids. It's really sweet. It's nice. We never had that growing up as kids. We were like, watch out for the cars, right? But no, here it's really nice. So yeah, we're both lucky enough to be able to work from home. So...
We've maintained our health and our jobs throughout this whole pandemic.
I mean, sort of my mental health is...
Well, physical health.
It's been a little stressful with two kids at home.
Yeah, becoming like kinder teacher, daycare provider, HR specialist, speech therapist for a little while, school administrator, and then parents and partners with each other, like all wrapped into one.
And still make time for one another.
Yeah,
you know, we're surviving.
Well, definitely glad to hear that. And what a sweet love story that you guys have had. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Are you guys ready to move on to the quick pick segment?
Sure.
I think so.
All right. Well, for any listeners who aren't familiar, this is just basically a series of rapid fire questions for you guys. So let's start out with an easy one. Who's tidier?
Me.
Yeah.
Okay. How about who's the better cook?
Me.
Yes, absolutely. I'm the sous chef.
He does dishes. He's really good.
Basically. At dishes.
Yeah. Always good to split it up that way.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the better driver?
You are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
How about we'll end on a sweet one here. What's your spouse's best personality trait?
Why are you laughing?
Personality trait. Sorry. Okay. Personality trait. Got it.
I'm going to say thoughtfulness. Because you're really good at like making sure I'm okay, even though I'm not okay, but you like check on me. So I'll say thoughtfulness.
I'm going to say her strength. Like that, I laughed at first because it's like when I think of you, I just think of how strong and resilient you are in so many ways. Both with our relationship, with our kids, like just, yeah, your strength.
Thanks, babe.
Oh, both sweet answers. Well, that does it for us today. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt and Sagrario.
Yep, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Such a fun conversation. Those two had me in stitches. And it was interesting to hear how they got engaged and married at the Triton throwing field. So cool.
Yeah, it definitely holds a special place in their hearts. Well, coming up on episode 34 of TritonCast, we'll chat with women's basketball alum Karina Harold. Karina shares about her time with the Tritons and how her passion for sports led to her career. Her career path included time with the Pepperdine Athletics Department, and she now serves as the Vice President of Major Events for the Los Angeles Sports and Entertainment Commission. You definitely won't want to miss her journey. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Very excited about that one. Thanks for listening to this week's show. And don't forget, you can catch us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. And for more on the show, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. We're at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.